Right now in South Africa, 80% of all drug-related arrests are just everyday users. Yet, you know, in this 2019 to 2024 National Drug Master Plan, the government is officially declaring that locking those people up is actively destroying public health.
It is just a massive operational paradox, honestly. I mean, we are looking at a document that tries to radically drag a whole nation's drug policy out of this punitive law enforcement era and, well, into a clinical evidence-based model.
Right, and that is exactly our mission for this deep dive today. Welcome in. We want to see how a government actually engineers that kind of policy U-turn on a national scale.
Yeah, it is not an easy pivot.
No, not at all. And what stands out right away is just how they codify addiction itself. Like, since we know the biology of addiction shows it as a chronic, relapsing brain disease, the plan focuses on translating that medical reality into actual state action.
Exactly.
I mean, incarcerating a user to cure addiction is sort of like trying to fix a broken car engine by just screaming at it instead of taking it to a mechanic.
That is a great way to put it. You throw the hardware into a cell, but the corrupted dopamine reward code remains completely untouched.
Untouched. And honestly, how does redefining addiction as a biological disease actually change what the government does on the ground?
Well, what is fascinating here is the shift away from prisons. Because the prison environment actually makes things worse. It actively facilitates exposure to older criminals and, you know, entrenched gang networks.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that makes total sense.
So instead, the plan outlines the shift toward a continuum of care. That basically means redirecting state funds away from just getting convictions and pushing them toward community-based treatment and harm reduction.
Okay, so treating addiction as a health issue sounds great in a boardroom, right?
Right.
But South Africa's ground reality makes clinical treatment incredibly complex. I mean, if we're going to fix this systemic broken engine, we have to understand exactly what fuel is causing the damage in the first place.
Yeah, and the local drug market is dominated by these highly specific regional cocktails that make standard rehab protocols really difficult to apply.
Like alcohol, for
Yeah.
starters. I mean, alcohol is the baseline threat tied to 58% of the country's road deaths.
It is huge, but the illicit market is entirely driven by ground-level economics. Take Naiopi, or Hunga, as it is sometimes called.
Right, I saw that in the data. What exactly is in that?
It is basically low-grade heroin that gets cut with cheap bulking agents in cannabis.
Which fundamentally changes the addiction demographic, right? I mean, it takes a highly addictive opioid that might normally be too expensive and makes it cheap enough to just flood impoverished communities.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the severe physical withdrawal from the heroin and Niobe, it binds users to the drug incredibly
That
fast.
is terrifying.
It really is. And then you have White Pipe, which mixes Mandrax or mesaquilone with marijuana. The sheer potency of these really affordable, locally engineered cocktails means community clinics are facing these compounded withdrawal syndromes.
Syndromes that just completely outpace basic treatment models.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But here is where it gets really interesting and honestly kind of contradictory. The plan pushes this continuum of care, but their own data shows law enforcement is still arresting the end user 80% of the time.
Yeah, that is the friction right there.
Right. Doesn't locking up users completely contradict the new medical approach? It kind of reveals a police culture that is deeply reliant on easy arrests to hit quotas.
Oh, absolutely. If we connect this to the bigger picture, retraining a police force is the heaviest lift in this entire
I
document.
can imagine.
The strategy dictates a complete redirection of law enforcement resources. They are mandated to pivot away from street-level users and aim at the supply chain instead of the kingpins, the clandestine labs, and trafficking networks.
Leaving the everyday user entirely to the public health sector.
Right. The plan pushes for concrete harm reduction interventions to catch those users, heavily emphasizing opioid substitution therapy.
Okay, so rather than a jail cell, individuals get prescribed safe, controlled alternatives like methadone. And that gets paired with needle and syringe programs to curb infectious diseases.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? This deep dive basically illustrates a massive blueprint for tackling a public health crisis under really severe resource constraints.
It does. It shows a government acknowledging that factors like poverty and unemployment actually drive the disease. You simply cannot incarcerate your way out of structural inequality.
Right, but it forces a confrontation between clinical logic and those entrenched police habits we talked about. Writing the policy is one thing, but dismantling decades of arrest-driven momentum is a whole different beast.
It really is. Science and empathy are starting to replace stigma and punishment, but It takes time.
It does, which leaves a lingering question for you to consider today.
Yeah.
If a national government can officially rewrite its laws to treat addiction as a biological disease driven by poverty rather than a criminal choice, how might you need to rewrite your own assumptions about the people struggling with addiction in your own community?